Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Pretty Lies and Alibis. Let's seek the truth and travel the long road to justice together. What you know, alibiers, happy Tuesday evening. Hope you had a really good day. Just got finished with all my notes and talking to Big E on the phone to fill in some gaps about today's testimony, but I think we got the best of it ready for you. Real quick, just want to make a little correction from last night's episode. Chris Sr. was actually shot 9 times and not 8. And I'm not sure why I put 8, but it was 9 times. He was the one with the most gunshot wounds. Hannah Hazel was second. And one thing that I'm curious about is why hasn't Canepa asked Jake how they got past the dogs? That's kind of been a big thing. Like, since we found out about the murders, is these dogs were said to be vicious. Maybe they knew him. I don't know. But I think it was something I thought she would ask. Guess not. I forgot to say, too, yesterday, apparently at one point, Jake looked over at the Roden family and mouthed the words, "I'm sorry," to them, which I'm sure meant nothing. All right. So for those of you who aren't on social media, and I know we have a few, just want to tell you that there has been a ruling that came down just today from the 4th District Court of Appeals. They issued an emergency order prohibiting Judge Deering from enforcing a rule he made keeping the media from filming witnesses. And so this is the second time the Court of Appeals has ruled against him. The first time was about showing sensitive pieces of evidence or pictures on the screen. So today's order was actually issued in the middle of when Jake was testifying. And so the order says that Judge Deering must allow witnesses to be filmed, or he must have a hearing where cause must be shown as to why not. So Eric called me at lunch today. And by the way, if you're not following Big E on Twitter, go give him a follow. It's ChasingPaper89. He is our eyes and ears in the court. He calls me during lunch, during breaks, keeps me updated so I can keep you guys updated. Couldn't do it without him. Good, good dude. So go give him a follow. And anyway, so he noticed there was a lot of commotion kind of in and out of the courtroom, and they went into chambers, and then Jake's attorneys are there, and so they knew something was up. Then he got a copy of the order, sent it over to me, and I put it out for you guys. So tomorrow morning at 8:30 before testimony begins, Judge Deering is going to have that hearing. There were some objections today, I believe one by Jake's attorneys about him being filmed. And so he will rule in the morning. I don't know how he can not allow filming if the appeals court has said that he has to allow it, but we'll see. It would be nice if I could just watch live that way. I'm not starting this so late every night because it does take a while to sort of get everything put into a timeline that makes sense. Sometimes the questioning is like all over the place. And then I'm a mom and I have stuff to do and I take care of my Grammy. And so I'm sorry these episodes are getting out a little late. So if he rules that he will allow filming tomorrow, these episodes will come out much earlier, probably 7:30 or so. All right. Music fact of the day before we dive into testimony. ABBA, who I love, was the first non-English speaking band to enjoy continual top hits in the U.S. They were the first. And I love me some ABBA. I love Mamma Mia, the movie. But I've loved ABBA since I was a kid. All right, so Jake's been on the stand now for 2 days, still on direct at the end of the day today, even though it was a little bit shorter because they took a very long lunch while they obviously went into chambers and went into panic mode about what are we going to do. But they kind of left off from where they picked up where they left off yesterday. So after leaving Chris Senior's for the last time, Jake didn't do anything to remove blood from his shoes or anything like that. He said that Billy was the one that had that cell phone jammer the night of the murders. But as we know, that thing, the battery died quickly. It was pretty much useless. He said the decision to take Chris Senior's truck that night to Dana's and Kenneth's was a very last-minute decision. It wasn't something that they had planned to do prior to the murders. Billy said Kenneth was a loose cannon, and that's why he had to be killed. Billy was worried that Kenneth would come retaliate and murder Jake if the finger pointing started. So that was kind of one of the reasons why Kenneth was included. He doesn't remember who decided to have George pull off into that drive on the last stop of the night of the murders, which was at Kenneth's. And that was actually about a mile away from where Kenneth was murdered, according to Jake. He said they got back to Peterson Road around 4:30 in the morning. And it's so bizarre to hear him talk this way because of what he did and his whole family. But he said he considered Chris Sr. to be a second father, and he hoped that he would have been his father-in-law one day. He said that Chris Sr. was very supportive to him during the breakup with Hannah. And he also talked about Gary. He had met him on a hunting trip in Kentucky and actually liked him. So when they got back to Peterson, they parked the murder truck in the new barn. Remember, at this point, that barn did not have stalls yet. It just had the posts and kind of the shell. So the three of them took off their clothes down to boxers, took off their shoes. They took the shell casings, floor mats from the truck, and the victim's cell phones, and they put that into a feeding trough that they used to burn things in. Jake went inside the house in his boxers and got some new clothes on. Angela was awake, and she was in the kitchen when he went in, but he said they didn't interact at all. Vine and Sophia were asleep, and he got the bag that they would eventually bury the parts of the weapons in the barn. He doesn't remember exactly where he got it from, though. So after the sun came up, Jake burnt the items, but he said he burned the things repeatedly until there was nothing but ash left, and then he put the ash in a dumpster. While Jake was burning all of the items, George was feeding the animals around the farm. Because, you know, farm life continues even after you commit a mass murder. Lord, these people, y'all. So kind of moving back, before Billy left with the truck, he drove to Athens. If you remember, that his niece is going to testify that he actually came there before the sun come up with that truck. But Jake and George, before Billy left with that truck, took apart that raised platform that they had made for them to hide underneath. And remember in openings, Canepa said that Billy's niece will testify that Billy just shows up out of the blue with a truck. For her name is Katie. Before the sun was up, he was unannounced. She was very happy to have that truck, and it was, the title was put in her name that same day. So Billy just wanted to get rid of that truck and gave it to his niece, of all people. Imagine if somebody had seen that truck. She would have been in, you know, she'd have had some questions to answer. His brother Bobby took him back to the farm, and when they got there, Jake and George were outside the house, and they took Bobby into the new barn to look at a pig. Jake said he never saw the truck again after Billy left with it, and he actually didn't learn where it had went until months after the murder. So Jake said he tore apart the three guns they used in the murders with a metal grinder and a blowtorch or a torch of some sort. And they buried them inside the barn in that duffel bag that he had got from inside. They removed a post and put the duffel bag down in a hole and then buried it there. He said he burned the serial numbers off the guns and torched the firing pins so that it would be hard for forensics to link that weapon to any shell casings that might have been left at the murder scenes. That was something he planned before the murders to do. So he said George actually helped dig the hole where they buried that duffel bag. And Canepa asked how strong George was. And he said that George was a strong bull ox. And they showed photos of that barn on the screen, and Jake pointed out where that duffel bag was buried. When asked if they talked about the murders, Jake said not often, and that he tried to erase that night and he couldn't bear to think of what he had done without immense guilt. Billy and Angela asked Jake if he needed to talk and said they were willing to listen. And he said to them not to mention this stuff to him and that he had it covered and he was bottling his emotions up. So the morning of the murders, after they did the deconstructing the weapons and burning their clothes, they went to a building that Angela had purchased in the hopes of selling it for profit. And it was about 30 minutes away from the Peterson house. But on the way there, they realized they had forgotten their chainsaw. And so they turned around to go back home. Angela called while they were on the way back to Peterson and told them to stop what they were doing and to come back home now. She didn't say why, but they were already on their way back when she called. So once back at Peterson, he got a call from someone named Andrew Carson, which is a person that he had met at a memorial four-wheel ride. He testified about it yesterday. I just didn't see any notes on that. But Andrew wanted to know if Jake knew what was happening over on Union Hill Road. And Jake said he had seen it on the news. And Jake said on the phone with him that he acted shocked and mournful-ish. That was his word, mournful-ish, while on the phone with this dude, Andrew. I mean, from what I've heard from everybody in the courtroom, he has shown no emotion whatsoever. It has just been spitting out what he's asked. And I mean, I think people are blown away. I've been in the courtroom. I was in with the Colorado Theater Shooter, and I very vividly remember I was sitting directly behind it. I could smell him. And while the jury was in the room, he kind of acted like comatose, like he was out of it. As soon as they left the room, he'd stand up, he would stretch, turn around, he would smile at you, which there's something to be said for being in the room, in a courtroom with somebody who was accused of doing such horrible things like Jake Wagner or James Holmes did. And Jodi Arias too, she was tiny. I remember thinking, man, she's so tiny. And they had her dressed like a librarian. But it's a really different feeling being inside with people who do this. And I can't imagine with 8 family members being murdered and the family sitting in and him just spurting this off like it's nothing. And Eric did say it is a weird feeling. All right, so sorry. If you're new to this, and by the way, if you look here at our YouTube count, just Sunday I hit 10,000. And look, guys, we're already at 11,253. So we have a lot of new listeners, and you're going to learn a couple things about me. One of those is that sometimes I get a little ADD and go off on something, and then eventually I come back full circle, but you'll get used to it. So the whole family, including Billy, watched news coverage of the murders that morning. The kids were awake, but they were watching cartoons in George's bedroom. Jake said he never watched the news on a normal basis, just ever. He really didn't watch the news, but he said he remembers seeing helicopters circling Chris Sr.'s house. And they talked about what was on the TV, I think, just really in simple terms. He didn't go into any detail. Jake was supposed to return Sophia that morning to Hannah Mae around noon because he had gotten her early the day before, which was very convenient. He called Chelsea Robinson, which is Frankie's ex, and the mother of Brentley, who was inside the trailer when Frankie and Hannah Hazel were murdered, and asking what happened and also wanting to inquire about Ruger and Sophie. So Chelsea told him the kids were at the hospital. He went inside and told Angela to watch Sophia and decided to go there to the hospital. When he got there, excuse me, we know that he talked to April Manley, and she testified earlier in the trial. If you remember, she was the one who cried and said it haunts her to think about him hugging her now, because she said, I had to wonder if he still had my baby's blood on him when he touched me. That just broke my heart, talking about Hannah Mae. He said he wanted to get Kylie and take care of her, but not in a custody way. April let him know she had rode with one of the kids to the hospital. I believe it was Kylie she rode with. And Jake was told by staff that he couldn't see the babies and could not receive any updates about them. He actually told April that Hannah Mae had tried to call him the night she was murdered, and he ignored the call. And so Canepa asked him if that was true, and he said, yes, she did try to call. He did not answer. So he said he wasn't there very long, went back home. A woman contacted Jake to check on Sophia's welfare. And then the next day after the murders, Jake contacted his custody attorney to let him know Hannah Mae had been murdered. And he said that they didn't use the forged custody documents that gave him custody of Sophia in the event something happened to Hannah that they all concocted up. And he was given custody, obviously, because Hannah Mae was murdered. He admitted to Billy and George and himself. They went to the funerals for all of the Rodens. They also went to Kentucky for Gary's funeral. Sophia did not attend any of the funerals, even the one for her mom. So Jake told Sophia about 1 to 2 weeks afterwards about the murders. I don't think he told her about the murders, but probably that her mom was in heaven. That's kind of what he said. So get this. Angela created a GoFundMe for Jake for the custody battle, which wasn't going to cost all that much. I mean, he collected around $1,000, he said, from that. And I went on the Wayback Machine and found the description of what he put underneath the photo that had him and Sophia. And it says, my daughter is Sophia Wagner. She's also the daughter of Hannah Roden. Unfortunately, Hannah Roden was one of the victims of the Roden family in Pike County, Ohio, where 8 members of the same family were murdered. Before the death of Sophia's mommy, I only had my daughter half the time. I wish I could have had her more, but Hannah and I were separated. Now I need help financially with all the attorney fees and expenses and extras to help her cope with the loss of her mommy and to acquire full custody of her. She's only 2.5 years old, and these are not expenses I was supposed to have. I was supposed to be able to spend time with her and give her a happy childhood. Now I have to work extra hours and do not get to see her much. She is asleep when I leave for work and usually asleep when I get home. Weekends are basically all we have, and Sophia and I are just asking for enough to settle the fees that we acquired due to the horrific tragedy to her mommy. And then he says, we want to get our lives back. I hate to see my daughter cry. Now, he says Angela was the one that set that up for him, and I totally don't doubt that. As evil as Jake is, that sounds very Angela. So after his first interview with BCI back in September of 2016, Jake kind of got worried that maybe something was going to be bugged. They were going to get their phones tapped. So around this time, Billy told them to dig up that bag that had the gun parts in it. And so Jake and Billy put the gun parts and also that hunting knife that he broke off in Frankie's door into 3 different 5-gallon buckets and filled those with concrete, which was used to anchor a geese house that was put in a pond on Flying W Farms as a gift to Billy's dad, who was dying at the time. There is no end to these people, y'all. Jake said he built it for the most part, and when it was finished, they took it to the farm. Jake and George got into the water and put up the geese house. Geese house, yeah. It stayed there, actually, until after their arrest. And now it's time for a word from our paid sponsor of the week, Gladskin.
October is National Eczema Awareness Month. According to the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, while it's usually thought of as a childhood disease, around 16.5 million adults in the U.S. have eczema. And while it affects people in various ways, 51.3% of adults with atopic dermatitis say it limits their lifestyle, 39% say it causes them to avoid social interactions because of their appearance, and 43% say it affects their activities. Luckily, as you know, Gladskin is here to help. But what actually causes the itchiness, redness, inflammation, and discomfort in the skin is a disruption of the bacterial environment, also called the skin microbiome. Gladskin specifically works to target the imbalance in your skin's microbiome. But unlike other skin brands and prescription medications, Gladskin uses uses MicroBalance, a revolutionary protein that restores the balance of the good and bad bacteria that live on your skin so it can finally heal. It's so effective that 91% of users, adults and children, who tried their top-selling eczema cream reported significant improvement after just 7 days. Glad Skin with MicroBalance is steroid-free, works without harsh ingredients, and is clinically proven to reduce eczema symptoms. It's even gentle enough for babies. So, if you've been frustrated with your treatment options, don't wait to try Glad Skin. They're offering my listeners 15% off plus free shipping on your first order at gladskin.com/whattheworld. That's gladskin.com/whattheworld for 15% off plus free shipping. gladskin.com/whattheworld.
These are pictures of the barn. I'll put the link in the description, by the way. And also on this picture here that I'm showing on the screen now, if you look on the left picture, this was on, I believe, June 8th, 2016. This was a post by Defiance Farms, which is the name of the Wagner farm at the time. And it's a photo of, at this point, they've started to build the stalls in the barn, which if you go back to Julia from BCI's testimony, they started noticing that after the murders, the construction on that barn picked up. So you can see April to June, we've got stalls in there now. It says, well, almost done. Can't wait to be able to move our animals into the new barn. So that was put up. I think Angela ran that Facebook page. It's still on Facebook under Defiance Farms. I think there is a new owner now that posts. But if you scroll way down, there are pictures of George or Billy with Vine. You can see some pictures of the kids from behind. And also, they showed an exhibit when Jake was talking about where he had put stuff. And they showed an overhead of Peterson. It's kind of color-coded there. And then also just the exterior of that barn. There's that ruling, by the way. So, all right. So back to it. Jake was then asked about George and Tabitha's relationship, and he said he knows that she left on November 10th or 11th, and he remembers this specifically because the next day was his birthday, and there was so much chaos that nobody remembered little Jakey, a grown man, had turned a year older and a year colder. He was specifically asked about Angela threatening to get her gun, and Jake said Tabby was, quote, in a state that night. He was in the kitchen when all this went down and when she left. He said he saw Tabitha hitting George. Jake said that he was trying, he's not trying to offend anyone, but he said when women get in an emotional state of mind, they start slapping with both hands. He said he did not see George hit her. I'm going to tell you, Jake, you make me mad. You ain't getting slapped. All right. Getting the knuckle sandwich. Tabitha said she was leaving and, according to Jake, forcefully pulled Vine off of a chair. George kind of intervened and said she was not taking Vine with her. And at this point, he said Tabitha hit Vine's head on the door frame and she tried to get past George, who was trying to block her. According to Jake, Tabitha essentially threw Vine to George and then she left. Look, I'm going to tell you, I try to be a good mom, but I can't tell you how many times between three kids, like hold them when they were infants, I like turned around, accidentally whacked their little head on the door frame, and then you feel like mommy dearest. But man, yeah, no. So I feel Tabitha there. I felt so bad every time I did it. Yeah, it's a good thing my kids have hard heads. So he said in frustration, Angela threw her hands up in the air and said, "That's it, I'm getting my gun." After Tabitha went outside, we know they went looking in the barn for her. Remember, she said she was hiding under the car and she could see the flashlights. So after she left on the bike, him and George got in a car and went to look for her. And they came upon her about a mile down the road away from the house. And Jake said he didn't see George hit her at all during any of this. But when they pulled up to the gas station, Tabitha went inside. So Jake said he told George she was probably going to call the cops. And he told him that you need to be first to call and make that report. He said that George hesitated and really didn't want to do it. And Jake said, look, I can't do it for you, but you need to call. And ultimately he did. He remembers Hannah Mae showing up later, but I'm pretty sure when Tabitha testified, she said that Angela, Billy, the kids, and Hannah Mae all pulled up together. And yesterday, there were some things, too, that Jake said he couldn't really remember much about the bodies, that he just kind of has blanked that out. Eric said he had very selective memory about certain things. So they also talk about Angela accusing Tabitha of trying to poison them. And Jake said, I think he was out of town when this happened, but it was like a stomach bug. But Tabitha was the only one who didn't get sick. He was also asked about Tabitha being accused of stealing money, and he said he doesn't specifically remember a direct accusation against her. And he said it's possible that maybe they set a trap to try to catch her stealing, but he wasn't aware if they actually did or not. He didn't go to any of the divorce hearings between George and Tabby, and he only knew of the custody situation because he overheard George and Angela talking about it, but essentially he knew she had supervised visitation and could not see Vine unless one of the Wagners was there. So before leaving for Alaska, he was approached, as we know, by two of the BCI agents, and he remembers them requesting his phone, and he didn't give it to them, but he finally did. He said a couple of months before moving to Alaska. I thought it was maybe a little bit sooner than a couple of months, but he talked about Alaska and said he always wanted to go back after visiting there in 2006 or 2007. So when they went in May of 2017, they went to look for work and a place to live. And so while they were driving up to Alaska, that's when they find out BCI is on the farm. And when he learned that BCI was searching the farm, he said he was upset and mad at Agent Scheider, mostly. He wasn't scared. He wasn't concerned about them finding things, but the four Wagners, he said, had two talks that he remembered about what to say if they were questioned by BCI. They agreed on the alibi they would use, which was that they were at home watching a movie that night, and he couldn't remember the name of the movie. Had they just agreed to Boondock Saints, we know he would have remembered. He remembers Billy said not to fall for the games BCI was going to play, and no discussion about custody issues with Hannah May. He said the family never coordinated what they would say to BCI directly, just more of the alibi and things like that. But he says they were interrogated after crossing the Canadian border into Montana on the way back from that little scouting trip. They didn't say much after being interviewed because, as we know, they all suspected that the cars were bugged. He also accused BCI of giving Sophia and Vine what he called sleepy Kool-Aid medicine. And we know they took the kids to the ER, but they tested negative for any kind of sedative or any kind of substance. He acknowledged they all thought that Tabitha had been brought up to the border that day. While back in Ohio, they stayed in different hotels for about a month. And when they went back to Alaska, the reason they went through Washington State and not back through the border is because they did not want to put the kids through another incident like what they had when they came back in. So when they moved to Alaska in 2017, they got word BCI is back at the farm with their digging equipment. Jake said he asked which barn they were digging in, but he doesn't remember why he asked. He does remember when that media release came out asking people who dealt with the Wagners concerning guns and cars to please let them know. And I looked this up. It looks like that was put out in June 19th of 2017 when that press release came out. While in Alaska, Jake worked for a place called Buddy's Garage. He was the main mechanic there. George was also there. And then he worked at a marine and diesel place and for a construction company. Billy worked at a scrapping business. Of course, Angela didn't work. And he said they didn't steal gas while they were in Alaska because I think it might be pretty obvious, a pretty small little area they're living in. So Wagners are in town. Everybody's gas getting gone. Wonder who did it. He said they went to church periodically, but mostly it was him and Sophia. He doesn't remember the pastor mentioning that press release to the church or what Elizabeth had testified to, which was that essentially they were innocent. Don't buy into the hype. So he was asked about his ex-wife, Elizabeth, and he literally, y'all, from what I've heard, he had a hard time remembering her last name on the stand. He could not remember her last name, and he said that's shameful, but ultimately he remembered it. It was Freeman. He kind of backed up what she said, which is they met at church, talked on Facebook, started dating. He said he taught her how to drive a stick shift, and Sophia got along with her at first. George and Angela were upset that Jake wanted Sophia to call Elizabeth mom. And Jake said it was never mentioned that it would confuse Vine if she did. I believe that's something that Elizabeth testified to. Or no, I think actually Canepa said that in her opening statement. So there's been a few things that Jake's testified to that's been different than what Canepa said in her opening. So I'm starting to wonder now, you know, the death penalty being taken off the table for the whole family is dependent on whether Jake testifies to the prosecution's liking or not. And I wonder if there's any issues behind the scenes with what he's testifying to and what they had agreed he would testify to, because there have been some discrepancies there between openings and Jake's testimony. I think it's kind of interesting. He said the reason that they, Jake said it. No, I'm sorry. I just jumped all over the place. He proposed after 6 or 7 months of dating. He was on a beach. He couldn't even remember what time of the year it was that he proposed. He said the reason they moved up their wedding 2 years was because of the plan to move back down to the lower 48. And he was worried long distance engagements may mean the end of things between them. And I just don't understand why at this point, with everything he knows has gone on and is probably going to go on, why was he in such a rush to get married? I mean, I don't know. I just don't get it. You would think that I don't know. I'm just curious. I mean, I don't think he loved her. You don't treat people that you love that way. Of course, he didn't treat Hannah Mae good either. They were having a hard time finding solid work up in Alaska, and the kids also missed being on a farm. He said they wanted to move somewhere in the lower 48 where it would snow, because Vine and Sophia loved the snow. He said once they got to Missouri, George drove Billy back to Ohio and then returned back to Missouri about 24 hours later. So you have to wonder, I think Billy was just over it. I think Billy was just ready to be back home. I know his dad was sick as well, but the understanding was that Jake, George, Angela, Elizabeth, and the kids would live on the farm full time, and at a later date, at some point, Billy would join them, and then they would all live on that farm together. He says he doesn't remember Beth being upset about the sleeping arrangements in Missouri. If you remember, she got on the elevator, hid behind like a little enclave or something, and Jake and Sophia were looking for her. He says he doesn't remember her being upset at all. He did get a job in Missouri, but the reason they moved back to Ohio was because ultimately the loan failed, and it was because Jake and George's credit was denied. So George and Angela decided they would just move back to her dad's old home. At this point, if you remember, her dad died while they were in Alaska, and they didn't even come back for the funeral. Jake was worried about the media invading their privacy back home in Ohio, and he was asked about when he told Elizabeth that her family was never allowed to visit. And he said he knew she had been molested by two of her brothers. And he said he told her he did not want those two to know where they were living. He denied saying that her whole family couldn't visit. He also said he never heard anything about Beth Ann being accused of poisoning the food or stealing from them. But he does remember a diary entry where Beth Ann said that between Sophia and Angela, she felt she had to compete for Jake's attention. Jake talks about Angela saying that Beth Ann had inappropriately touched Sophia. And he asked Beth Ann about it for a few weeks, just kind of off and on. And in the meantime, he told Angela he did not want Sophia to be out of her sights when Beth Ann was around. So ultimately, as we know, they confronted her in the kitchen, as she testified to last week. She said she didn't do it. And Jake said the sensitivity of the subject worried him and that it was a very serious allegation. Now, he has a very different recollection of what happened that night. And here's what I don't understand. So I don't think that Elizabeth was lying. Her body language and her emotion when she recalled being threatened with this remade Walking Dead bat, I thought was very sincere. I'm just curious why Jake feels the need to, because one of them's lying or one of them is misremembering. He's admitting to murdering 8 people, but why would he lie about this? He said he wasn't saying to her specifically what he would do if she had hurt Sophia, but what he would do to anybody who hurt Sophia. He says he told her he would beat whoever he caught to death with his bare hands, which Beth Ann said they would string her up in the barn, recreate the bat from The Walking Dead, which was named Lucille. They would beat her to death. And if Jake didn't do it, Angela would do it. If Angela didn't do it, George would do it. George didn't do it, Billy would do it. They would bulldoze and burn the barn. That was her version, which is very different from Jake's. If you remember, she paused and she was shaken when she talked about that. So he talks about when Beth Ann called the pastor in Alaska after that confrontation in the kitchen and said that he told Jake that he should not jump to conclusions and to see if Sophia was lying or not. He should pray for the answer of if she did or didn't get touched. So essentially, this had Jake in prayer mode for 2 to 3 weeks. He said Sophia told him Beth Ann was stealing her daddy and she wanted Beth Ann to go away. So maybe, you know, maybe there is some truth to Sophia being a little jealous. You got to consider Sophia all of a sudden has not seen family that she saw on a regular basis. Just all of a sudden they were gone. And being 2.5, 3, you don't understand it. You don't know why this is happening. And then you've got another woman and this with your daddy. So it's, you know, but anyways, I think maybe that's the reason that they were okay with Beth Ann leaving the way she did. Also, I think what's different with Beth Ann compared to Hannah Mann Tabitha is that the heat was getting turned up at this point. And I think that she was probably just more of a burden to them than anything. And they were like, yeah, you want to go? Bye. We'll drive you to Walmart and walk in and then we'll leave. So I really do think that's the difference. So that's where we left off today. And who knows what Judge Deering is going to testify to or rule tomorrow. So we'll keep an eye on that. As soon as that is out, I will either update social media, do a YouTube short. By the way, if you're on YouTube watching and you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. If you hit that little bell button every time I post, it'll let you know. And so hopefully tomorrow we just get to see Jake. He's still on direct. And so I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I'll have to double check. For some reason, I'm thinking there's no court on Thursday. So it could be Jake goes into next week because we're going on day 3 of direct. And I think Cross is going to take their sweet, sweet time with him. But here's the good thing. If Judge rules tomorrow that he will, in fact, obey the appellate court and allow recordings, we will get to see all of Angela's. And I'm very interested to see hers as well. So I don't know if retroactively, if he agrees to abide by this ruling, if maybe at least we could get the audio of Jake. I don't know that it was filmed because the cameraman, I think there's one camera in there and we know where he kept it if you were watching, which was just kind of on George or people sitting in the seats. So we shall see. I'll keep you updated. But anyways, hope you guys have a good night and we will see you around this time. May hopefully sooner tomorrow. Because if it's live, I'm pumping this thing out early. All right, y'all have a good night.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.